What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, sans Vaisan, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans, where we do employer branding in a data-driven fashion. This week, we're going to look into employer brand leadership in these troubled times that we are in, and also taking a closer look at EVP pillars and the scrutiny they are undergoing in these times, and seeing if they're up to the test. Let's start the show. Okay, right. So topic A, leadership and employer brand. Now, from the client work that we do specifically around the Employer Brand Index, we know how vital management and organization, the leadership of a company, is to candidates, employees, and alumni. So management has a direct impact on the employer brand, sometimes way beyond the control or the team in charge. And we all know that people join companies, but they leave managers. And if you are plagued with bad managers to begin with, it's very hard to build a strong employer brand. But now, more than ever, employees look to managers for information, of course, and leadership on many levels. And we're all in this together, as the mantra goes. And there's really nobody to blame for this pandemic. And it is very testing for all employees of an organization. And whenever I'm asked about examples of influential leaders that embrace their people agenda, shall I say, Mark Benioff pops into my mind, and he's the founder and CEO of Salesforce, as well as a very progressive and outspoken advocate of social change. He's up there on the barricades as a tech CEO. And he will use his and his company's full leverage to influence public opinion, customers, suppliers, and lawmakers. And judging by the results, the financial results of Salesforce in the last few years, his strategy is really working. Now, if we look at what he's doing during this coronavirus situation, it's worth casting an eye on his online presence, which is full of messaging, both from a corporate perspective and from his own. So I think Mark Benioff is an excellent example of a leader that's always been a good communicator and now really adapting to a crisis and leads from the front. So if you look at his Twitter account, he's sharing a lot of information about working remotely, about mental well-being, mental health, social distancing, and all these things, and really taking it super seriously. Feels like he's a really caring manager. I don't know the guy myself. I don't work for Salesforce, but from the outside, he looks like he's ticking all the boxes there. So what about employer brand leadership? Surely that is the responsibility of all managers, not just the upper echelons. Some might argue that employer branding is only required in times of large-scale hiring, but I think they would be missing the point then. Employer brand is about the whole employee experience. And now, more than ever, it's about ensuring this experience is as good as it can be. Of course, let's not forget candidates who are in the hiring process and understandably unsure about their prospects. They need to be looked after, as well as even alumni, people who recently or some time ago might have left the business. Now, I read a really interesting article in The Economist, and that inspired me to write a few tips for managers, which I think perhaps the employer brand team can supply some tips and insights to managers in these times. The first one is to really to have a clear message. So managers should really clearly say, what is the company doing to support its people? What are the expectations of employees? Who's in charge of what? These are the basics that all leaders should know and communicate clearly. So obviously, the leaders need to be informed first, and then they can cascade this down to the organization. Number two, keep calm. The leaders of an organization have to keep a level head in a crisis. Now, some are experienced enough. They're seasoned and they've been through tough times in the past. Others aren't, but they probably have more experience than most of their individual contributors and team members. So in these times, employees look up to the leaders and they want to see someone who's calm and has got the right information. Be available. There will be questions beyond the ones I just mentioned. Now is the time to proactively check in with teams and individuals, whether it's on Slack, Zoom, Teams, Microsoft Teams, or other places. Team members need to know that managers are there for them. For instance, here at Link Humans, we're working completely remotely and we do daily check-ins twice a day, calls with everyone, and then we also do one-on-one calls and Teams do calls. So it's just about being available there, even if you or the other person may not have much to say. It's just about being available. And of course, listen. So what's on the management agenda may not be exactly what worries staff on a daily basis. So use your meetings and these interactions to really understand what matters to your people. Perhaps consider running a Q&A session, so a town hall, open to all employees, a virtual one, of course. Finally, be transparent. So first of all, your managers are not going to have all the information that people ask for. And that's fine as long as they say as much. They should let their teams know that they're working on it and will keep everyone posted. So it's about keeping it real there. So have a clear message, stay calm, be available, listen, be transparent. It applies to employer brand leaders and other leaders and managers throughout organizations. And I would say that the job of the employer brand team, together with communications, PR, marketing, HR, in general, is to ensure leaders and employees are kept updated on the information flow regularly. Right, so let's turn to EVP pillars in a time of crisis. So most of you listening to this will have some sort of EVP defined. It might be old, it might be new, but you have some sort of positioning. And the way we look at EVP here at Link Humans, we visualize it as a house. So you have a governing thought at the top, and then you've got pillars that bear up the roof, if you like. And these pillars are usually themes which makes a company unique or special, at least to reasons why people will want to apply to work for the company, as well as want to stay for the working for the company. So it usually consists of 3 to 5 pillars, and these are deemed unique enough to be used for communications purposes. And I thought it could be useful to review some of these typical themes and how they could be perceived during this pandemic situation we have, because this is really the acid test for your corporate furniture, along with purpose, values, principles, behaviors, etc. That's perhaps another team's responsibility. But in the employer brand world, we have to ensure that our EVP is robust and really delivering what it promises in good times and bad. So the first one, the first EVP pillar that I wanted to address is change. So some organizations are in a constant state of change and clearly communicate this in their EVP. So they look for people that thrive in the dynamic environment that this creates. But of course, this type of change that we're experiencing now is not what anyone really signed up for. Sure, your workforce may be more resilient, but this is the time to communicate that the business is stable, and while transformation is undergoing, these specific projects are going to be on a hiatus until the changing nature of the world has come to some sort of conclusion. So you don't want to overdo it on change right now. Next one is compensation. So probably not used in EVPs that often, but I do know some companies lead with it. Salesforce, what? And they really talk about being able to provide an attractive package. These organizations often tie the compensation to sales, profit, and the stock price. Now, the trouble is that this trio of metrics are all going to take a beating during this time, or already have taken a beating. So some employees may have accepted a lower basic salary with the prospect of a higher total package. So where does this lead them now? This ties in with the long-term prospects of the business. Now is the time to communicate that there will be a light at the end of the tunnel and the company will survive and thrive. So it's going to be very hard for people that sign up for the conversation angle. Show them the bigger picture and the fact that the company has gone through tough times in the past. Next one, diversity and inclusion. So we've had politicians and business leaders banging on about we're all in this together. And for once, I think it actually rings true. From an employer perspective, the question is, are you providing the same level of support to all employees? This cannot be limited by geography, job function, seniority, or any other segmentation. If we're all in this together, you have to ensure this is the case now more than ever, or you will be called out at some point. Another one is, another pillar is family. So this is the big F word in EVP pillars. This one is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, the word family implies security and trust and the long haul, if you like. But consider a family-owned company actively using the word in their EVP messaging. They could be caught out if they had to lay off staff, which does happen. And inevitably, the backlash is going to be in the form of, what? Is this really how you treat family? I know businesses who shy away from using the word family in their employer value proposition for this very reason, because if it backfires, it can be very spectacular. Next one is innovation. What springs to mind in these times is the ability to work effectively remotely, having the right systems in place, and of course the correct hardware to be able to do it from home. Now, I don't think you should call yourself an innovative company if you can't deliver on these necessities. And if you take it up a notch, innovation is actually really about new ideas. So if you can come up with new ideas of working together in a better way as a distributed team, executing on these and striving to make something good out of this, now that's real innovation. And I think that's what people would expect if you have it in your EVP. Opportunity is another one. So some EVPs will talk about going places, Heineken, or variations thereof. And individuals can see themselves moving up the ranks and perhaps living the expat lifestyle for a few years. Now, this is going to be a tough promise to keep up during a crisis, and employees will understand that there is a pause on their career ambitions for the time being. In this case, I would encourage communicating that talent management programs will resume once we're back to normal and employees are keeping their place in the queue. Next one is passion. Plenty of EVPs contain passion in one way or another. I mean, we actually just completed an EVP where passion is an integral part of it. So I think it ties in with the top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. But during a crisis, it's more likely employees are concerned with the basics of the give and get, such as keeping their jobs, getting paid on time, the resilience of the company in a downturn. In some cases, however, the passion element will actually be more tangible during a crisis. And right now I'm thinking of health providers, vital public services, supermarkets. We realize how important they are, and others. This is really the unsung heroes of these companies are suddenly thrown into the spotlight, and their passion for what they do will be self-evident. And passion is closely related to the next one, which is purpose. And speaking to a higher purpose in your EVP is probably one of the best ways to attract and retain. For some companies, this will come more naturally than others. In these times, the organizations that provide life-saving medical equipment, that ensure food supply chains are working, that otherwise influence society's response to a pandemic, can truly speak of offering purpose-driven work. Now, the regular CSR or ESG claims of removing plastics in the office or reducing emissions by X percent by 2030, laudable, noble as they might be, they will not come close to the purpose of workplaces tasked with keeping people lives. So in some cases, purpose will rise. In others, it's not going to be a differentiator at this time. Next one is well-being. So a few large corporates out there are taking well-being very seriously and even incorporate this as an EVP pillar. Apart from the obvious support the company may be able to offer around the coronavirus and this situation we're in, there is also the mental well-being aspect of working from home or even being in a quarantine, perhaps all on your own. Do you offer any professional support in terms of therapy or other? This ought to be part of the internal communications. Then, of course, there is the financial aspect around your things like your policies like sick pay, which will also play into this theme. Final one is work-life balance. Now, the companies that were offering work from home options long before this situation we're now in are, of course, miles ahead in this department. Along with innovation, as mentioned previously, this will concern how people work remotely and what the expectations are of them. Is there truly a balance between working and being at home and in close vicinity of your devices? I'm not so sure. Perhaps not in many cases, but the employer has to do what he can here to set clear guidelines. Instead of just following the manager's example, which the manager's probably working very hard from dusk till dawn, employees should know things like when it's okay to log off and when they can expect feedback and what's really expected of them. So those were the pillars I wanted to run through. Clearly, there are lots more of these. If you want to put your EVP pillars to the test, feel free to get in touch. I think the takeaway here is that if you're unsure about your EVP or individual pillars, now is the time to review and perhaps dial down communications around those specific ones. If you have any questions at all, very happy to discuss this. I'm Jorgen at linkhumans.com. And that is it for this week. Thanks for tuning in and look forward to catching up next time. Hey, doh.